This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
He's Mr. Chris Rose from the NFL Network. Hello, Chris.
Hello, guys. Oh, how are you?
That was about as happy as I've ever seen you on Sunday night. Man, you were grinning from ear to ear with your great Browns tie on. It was outstanding to watch you on Sunday night. I just want you to know that.
Thanks. Yeah, it was fun. They surprised me with Joe Thomas off the top of the show. That was, Joe was, a few cups in, if you know what I mean. He was celebrating.
A couple of Coke Zeros. That's the way to go right there.
Yep. He deserves it.
Yep. We all deserve it. I got to be honest with you.
Yes.
We all deserve it.
You're right.
It was unbelievable. I had to work. I had to go on right after the game. So I was down at NFL Network watching the game with my two producers, Wirtz and Drew, and our researcher, Chris McNeil. And when that snap went over Roethlisberger's head, I think I had a blackout moment. It was one of those where I just started screaming obscenities at the TV, like positive obscenity, if there is such a thing. And it just didn't stop for 3 hours. It was unreal.
It was so much fun. Let me riddle you this. I'll bring up the only bad thing. What'd you think in the third quarter area where Roethlisberger completed something like 12 straight passes and the Browns seemed to be giving them about 15 yards on every pass play?
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, I understand that. And I told the guys I was watching with, I said, we're going to have to score more than 40 to win. And, I mean, yeah, we could have hung on with 38, but I was happy we got into the 40s. So, I mean, you're not going to score 112 points in a playoff game when you score 28 in the first quarter. You're not going to keep up that pace. So at some point it's going to slow down. You're going to have punts. We didn't have any turnovers. We didn't give them any short fields to work with, that sort of stuff. So they had to work it. Yeah, I got a little nervous, but nothing crazy.
All right, good.
All right, I want to know what Chris Rose was like the moment the ball got snapped over Roethlisberger's head. I want to know what Chris Rose was like all game. I want to know what your Twitter feed with your brother, with your family, was like during the game. I want to know what Chris Rose the fan was like during that game.
Did not text with my family during the game. Did call my sons during the game. I put out a little thing on Monday on Twitter, just kind of a 2-minute video encapsulating what went on. And I was just happiest for them because personally I've been this far with a team that I love. And I've told them for years that as much of a fan as you guys are of the Indians and the Cavs, that nothing compares to when the Browns are good in contention and then in the playoffs. And they're just realizing that. Like last week was really difficult because they just come off the high of making the playoffs for the first time since they were alive, certainly since one of them was alive. He was born in 2005. And then a couple days later, getting kicked in the onions because Stefanski and Petonio and, Ward's not coming back, and that whole thing. And then thinking like, oh, my God, all that hard work and we're not going to have a shot. Like, you have to almost convince yourself that you had a chance. So now you win the game and you're on this high and you're like, I don't care if we have to play the champs. Like, they're just, like my 15-year-old came down for breakfast today. He's like, well, can it be Sunday yet? And it just spun me back to 1986 when I was a 15-year-old. And then, obviously the run in early of 87 where you just can't wait for the next game. So it's just – it's awesome.
Chris Rose joining us from the NFL Network. How do the Browns beat the Chiefs?
Well, they unfortunately, unlike Roethlisberger, they don't turn it over a ton. So what I would suggest is if you can, try and go watch the two Raiders games. And I know one of them was nationally broadcast, the Sunday night game where the Chiefs ended up winning in the, you know, with a score in the final minute. But the Raiders, whose defense is not very good, in fact, dare I say that it's worse than the Browns during the regular season. The Browns' defense is, and that's not taking a shot at the Browns' defense. We just weren't, you know, we weren't great. We weren't a great defense. You're not gonna force five turnovers against them. That's not gonna happen. So what can we do? Well, if we run the ball effectively, we're gonna have to score 40. I really believe that. I think we're gonna have to score over 40 again to win. So I don't know how that is. I don't know if that's a huge special teams play thrown in there. I don't know if it's a big PI, and I don't know if it's just consistently moving the ball, but that's what we're going to have to do. 42 is probably the number.
I agree with you on that.
How will the Browns defense stop Pat Mahomes? That's my question. Can they? I mean, obviously, this is one of those you can only contain him moments.
No,
but
you can't even contain him. Really, that's what I'm saying is that you have to minimize their possessions more than anything else. So when you're scoring, you're using 5 minutes of the clock, 6 minutes of the clock, and if they score, you know, let's remember last playoff they were down double digits in every game, and against Houston in their first round game in the divisional round, they were down 28-3 or something crazy. You know, it was a crazy score again. Maybe 24-0 is what it was.
Okay.
And they came back. They almost came back by halftime. I think it was like 24-20, or maybe they were up 28-24. I forget exactly how it all transpired, but they were down double digits in every game. And here's the other thing: the back half of this year, they weren't Kansas City Chiefs awesome. They were winning games, but they weren't amazing. You know, they have 7 straight games where they won by 6 or fewer points. And not all of them were against teams that were as good as the Browns. You know, they played a tough schedule. They played New Orleans. They played Tampa Bay. But there were some teams that they beat by 6 or fewer that aren't as good as Cleveland. So it can be done, but it's an uphill battle, and we know that.
The thing that's amazing to me, Chris, is everything that the Browns overcame against the Steelers.
Yep.
I mean, beating the Steelers is one thing. I mean, that's big enough. But to do it with what they had to overcome, to me, it clearly will be one of those wins that's talked about for generations because of everything that was involved in it. And I described it on Monday as, all right, everything that's happened before from 99 until Sunday, it's done. It's all done. It's a new chapter moving forward. It doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you're going to win the Super Bowl or win 15 games every year or whatever. But to me, everything was buried on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't like to bury stuff. I'll be honest with you. I think you have to, if anything, that's what makes it sweeter, is that we've had so little success. I mean, if you were to ask a neutral football fan, meaning a fan that doesn't have a team left, who they're rooting for right now, I bet you more than 50% of them are rooting for the Cleveland Browns. I guarantee you, just because based on where we've been on top of everything else. And then, yeah, I mean, how many fans did not want to play that game last week? How many fans were like, oh, we're getting screwed over because we have to play, right? I mean, that was a calling card, and I don't blame them. Like, I get it. I understand. But it is a tremendous lesson in perseverance for everybody. And I give a ton of credit to Kevin Stefanski. I've watched almost every one of his press conferences this year. Not once from Tuesday on, from the declaration that he was not going to be there, did you see any sort of frustration? Did you see anything other than, hey, this is what's going on? There was no, woe is me. There is no, this is unfair. It was, listen, guys, we've got a job to do whether I'm sitting in my basement or I'm standing on the sidelines. And if you guys don't understand that, then it's not going to work. I mean, he instilled that from the first minute, and he put that face on publicly. I don't know what he said to his wife during those times, you know, where he, I mean, maybe he was like, God, this sucks. I cannot believe we have to play, you know, because that would have been my reaction. But he did the right thing, which was tell those guys in that locker room, tell everybody that was listening to him in the football world that it's going to be okay. We understand the challenge, but there's no excuse that, well, because the coach and play caller and the left guard and the two of the top three corners aren't there, that, oh, well, that was impressive. That's an example of leadership.
Yeah, the only point, and I don't know, because I can't see Kevin Stefanski. We listen to all the press conferences. The only point where I thought I heard, like, a tinge of frustration is he was asked the question about, you know, remote coaching and being able to coach the game through headsets but not actually be at the game or not. And he just kind of was like, it was the only time I heard him grumble through an answer where it kind of made me think the team has asked the league and the league has said, no, you can't do that.
Yeah, I did hear that. I did detect that. And that's, you know, I think there were a lot of people that are involved in football who were like, why can't they make this happen? Like, why couldn't he get in his own car, drive to the stadium? Like, they had the, you know, and some people would say, well, would he have done it if they were playing in Kansas City? Well, the fact was they weren't. They were playing 150 miles from his doorstep. So he could have gotten in the car. He could have. Now, you know, maybe the league wanted to say, well, we don't want people who are COVID positive being in the building, period. It's setting a bad example. That's fine. Just come out and say that. You know, I mean, if that, I can't necessarily argue with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, if that was their point, because if it's not the point, then it made it feel like it would have been a tactical advantage for the Browns to have had that. And we know that's not the case because there's play callers that sit upstairs in a box, right?
Sure, head coaches have been in the box before. It's not like, I mean, it's always a rare occasion when that happens,
but we've seen that before. Guys have been hurt, right, guys have had a broken leg before or something, some sort of medical ailment that forced them upstairs, and it wouldn't have given him, right. So I just would have liked to have heard, I think, an explanation other than no.
Agree.
Now moving forward, we hope we get him back tomorrow. That's the plan.
Mm-hmm.
You get Denzel back. You get Kevin Johnson back. That's great. No word on Joel Bitonio yet, and I think that's going to be critical going up against Kansas City.
Oh, yeah.
You just want the Browns to give it their best shot, Chris.
Well, yeah. I mean, absolutely. You know, the Blake Hance story is unreal. It's unbelievable. You know, Michael Dunn, credit to him, he graded out as the best guard, I think, on wild card weekend out of all those guys, and I feel terribly for him that his season's over now. But, you know, for a guy who was bouncing around from team to team, who was about to go to business school instead, now seemingly has a future in this league and certainly with this team, I think that's a great story. There's so many amazing tentacles of this entire process that has gone on over the last several days. But, yes, they need the best pass-blocking guard in football and the leader of this team to be out there. And you just hope that when you wake up tomorrow, you know, that's the first thing I do is check the COVID list. It's ridiculous. This is how every day has started for the last month for me. I check the Browns COVID list.
All right. Give me your faith factor in the Browns being able to win. They've got a blank percent chance of winning on Sunday.
Well, for people that listen to my weekly stint, so that would be both of you.
Yes.
Last week I said we were going to lose by 14, so I'll say the same thing and hope that I continue my amazing streak of sucking at predicting.
Very nice.
And yeah,
you're outstanding at that.
Yes. So let's roll with that. And I mean, listen, it's going to be a billion times tougher because of the team they're playing. They're not playing a team that has lost 4 or 5 going into this. They're not playing a team there where the quarterback stands in the pocket and can throw interceptions. And this guy is a different animal, folks. He is the best player in the NFL, and I will be more shocked if by the time his career is over that he's not a top-3 quarterback than if he is a top-3 quarterback of all time.
Wow.
With all that being said, let's go play it. Let's go play it.
Those are words to live by right there if you're a Browns fan. Chris, a pleasure, buddy, as always. Look forward to you doing highlights of a Browns win against the Chiefs.
Yep.
Same tie? You're wearing the same tie?
No, I can't do that.
Oh, yeah, you can.
I have other orange ties.
Good. I was worried about that.
Hey, one last thing.
Yeah.
Frankie Lindor is now a New York Met.
Yeah, he is.
And the Indians, in return, received a package that didn't get anybody overly excited, as you predicted. Your thoughts and reaction?
Yeah, that's about what I thought they would get. So, it's a couple of guys who won't help out for years and a couple of guys who will help out next season and probably be our middle infield, our short and second baseman. So that's what they want. You know, it sucks, guys. He was a generational player for them. Because of not only the type of player he was, how dynamic he was on both sides of the ball, but because of who he is. And that is a tough, tough thing for Cleveland baseball fans. And I get it if you're pissed off. I get it if you're sad. So I still think they'll be decent because that pitching staff is filthy. And I will say that one other thing. The Indians have always been, in my opinion, better at identifying talent in other organizations than drafting it themselves in terms of position players.
Oddly true, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, and it's gone back 15 years. I mean, I'm talking about Shin-Chu Chu, Asdrubal Cabrera, Michael Brantley, Carlos Carrasco. The list kind of goes on and on.
Yeah.
And, Kluber. I mean, hell, Kluber was – we didn't even know who he was when we made that trade, that Jake Westbrook trade. So you have to have some faith in their ability to identify young talent in other organizations, and let's just hope that rings true.
And that is what we
Amen,
have to hope
brother.
For.
Yep. Amen.
Chris, thank you, bud.
Guys, enjoy the week. Let's go have fun, and I can't wait for 3:05 Eastern on Sunday.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.